Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. Matt Bella High, more like.
Oh,
get it? 420?
420, please, please, please.
I'm here in the studio recording right across from my co-host and producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. What's up, bro?
What time is it?
It's 4:20 tomorrow.
Blaze, 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 blaze,
blaze, blaze.
I honestly think we're doing a lot for the cause of making it uncool to smoke. We're doing more for Dare than Dare ever did.
Oh, the truth. It hurts so bad.
People are listening and they're like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't smoke weed. And you know what? You're welcome. We're actually doing a service.
More for us.
So yes, tomorrow is the most holy of holidays, the federal day off known as 420. And to celebrate, we got another stoned deep dive for you, the kind of deep dive that's recorded when I am what doctors refer to as stony baloney.
It's so true.
Zonked, you know? Absolutely blasted into outer space.
That is where we go, and that is where we stay.
The boom of food.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, orangutan. That one doesn't work. But before that, we're kicking things off with a little bitchin', as always, that we got worst things first. Right shot about the stupidest, most ridiculous worst news of the week. And finally, we'll get to all the good stuff that helps the bad shit go down easier with our chasers. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, Barry, what is your gripe of the week? What do you have to bitch about? Because you always got something. Every time I walk in, it's always like, oh, here she goes again with this shit. I'm like, can we get a break?
No, never. I just can't stop with the relatable bitching. Here comes an extra relatable one today.
Can't wait to not relate to this at all.
You also might not, because you probably don't sit on the toilet as much as I do.
Well, that is wrong. I sat on the toilet until I was like 16, first of all, for everything. And then, yeah, now I do resent men who choose to sit on the toilet when they could stand just to pee.
Okay.
But I've done it.
Right. So here's the thing. Automatic toilets that don't have an obvious manual button in case of emergency need to go. This is actually an issue in the current office space where I work. And by in case of emergency, I mean it just like decides not to flush. And then you have to do the whole dance where you're like, okay, you're fully clothed again. It's still not flushing. And you have to like squat to make it seem like maybe you're going to trick the sensor and you don't touch the toilet. And then you stand back up, or you're bent over looking at your phone for so long that like the toilet forgets you're there.
Right.
And then it just doesn't flush. And then it's like you have no other choice. There's no button. There's no, what are you supposed to do? You leave. And if someone else goes in the stall, they think you're just a disgusting person who doesn't flush.
Yeah.
No, I won't do that to my pride. I won't allow someone to think that I would simply not flush. But what am I supposed to do if it just doesn't have another option?
I can't believe there's just no failsafe.
I have looked, and I cannot find one. And it's happened in a couple other situations as well, so I don't understand it. There should just be a button.
Kohler, if you're listening, whatever the other major toilet manufacturers are, that's the only one I could think of right now. That is tough. I can't say I've ever been quite in that scenario, but I bet I'll find myself in it now.
Yeah. I mean, I love the idea of not touching something to flush the toilet. That being said, not a huge fan of the automatic toilet because I feel like it's just not advanced enough technology.
Right. It is absurd that we have so many technologies. Like, we have self-driving cars.
Yeah.
And we can't have a toilet that understands the one and only time to flush.
Right.
Because it's either it doesn't flush at all, or it flushes every 5 seconds,
yep,
spraying your ass with an unimaginable concoction of germs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's upsetting.
It's a terrorist attack.
I agree.
On the ass.
Absolutely. You're being assaulted. I am also upset, following on this theme.
Yeah, please.
Because famously, a couple months ago, I flushed a bunch of lemons down the toilet.
It basically fixed itself,
mm-hmm, I would say. Yes, intentionally did this. But now I see a lot of, like, newer toilets. Not that I've ever been toilet shopping, personally. I just kind of play with the hand that I'm dealt.
Isn't it amazing to think that, like, you actually can choose your own toilet if you buy a house?
Yeah.
I never thought that it was a choice.
I mean, yeah, it really is a shame that buying a house is fake and nobody has ever done it. But I am jealous of the idea that people can just pick out their fridges,
yeah,
and stoves.
Who
and
knew?
Like, build that shit from scratch.
Crazy.
Including a toilet. And a lot of newer toilets have these advertisements that are like, you can flush an entire set of pool balls.
What?
Billiards balls.
Why would you do such a thing? Oh, that's like the demo?
The demo is like, look at the suction on this baby.
Okay.
And I'm just like, I had sliced lemons. It wasn't like I was doing whole lemons. It was sliced up lemons, and it still cannot handle it. I should have known better because of the infrastructure of my building. It's like clearly from the 1960s. But still, now I just feel like I'm being taunted by this newer technology.
Yeah. Also, that demo specifically, it's like, okay, how crazy do you think my shits are?
I mean, yeah, I've only seen that advertised. I've only seen it, like, shown in the context of people being like, what the fuck is this?
Okay.
It's like, I don't think anybody has ever seen it and been like, oh, yeah.
That's perfect for me.
Perfect for me, my giant shits. I mean, famously, my family, we have two bathrooms in the house that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And my mom would get really mad if anybody would go number two upstairs, because if it clogged and overflowed, it would cause, like, bigger issues, because then it would go into, like, the walls or whatever.
Oh my God. What a nightmare.
And obviously that was prompted by an overflow incident. And so I think our lives would have been a lot better had we had a billiard ball standard toilet.
Okay, now you know what to get your mom for Christmas.
I guess so, yeah.
What else is eating you up today?
I don't have anything as fun as that. Mostly I just am mad at my insurance company. Because I've talked about insurance on the podcast before.
Well, the ultimate scam.
Yeah. I just want everybody to know how ridiculous it is in New York, especially if you have one of those ridiculous plans that you just have to, like, buy from the marketplace.
Right.
I pay over $600 a month just to have insurance. I want that to sink in, okay? I could literally rent out a, like, one-bedroom apartment in fucking somewhere.
Oh, yeah, not New York, but yeah, somewhere else.
I could buy an entire used vehicle every month.
Craigslist? Oh my God, the things you could buy on Craigslist for $600.
I pay over $600 for the shittiest insurance ever. It covers nothing. Basically, what prompted this was that the new medicine that my psychiatrist prescribed, my insurance, like, the dosage that he prescribed, they were like, that's above what we'll cover. So, A, I'm taking more than the insurance recommended
amount. You're actually too fucked up to be insured. Sorry.
He called me today, and while we were on the phone, he's like, oh, the fax is coming through. First of all, the fax is coming through.
The amount that you pay, they should be able to afford, I don't know, an email address?
He was like, the fax is coming through on whether it'll be approved right now. It was like a game show moment. And he came through and he was like, and it's denied. And I was like, yes. So the full amount that I'll have to pay rather than the insurance covered amount is $175 a month for this medication, which is keeping me from going cuckoo. Oh, and wow. I'm like, are you shitting me? What am I paying this money for? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm genuinely curious because obviously the thing that you tell yourself when you pay for insurance is like, okay, if I go outside and like a little kid runs me over with a tricycle, motorized tricycle, and every bone in my body breaks, I'll at least not go bankrupt. But I'm like genuinely curious what would happen in that scenario because I'm willing to bet I would still be absolutely fucked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just know from the one ER visit I had this past year where I took an ambulance, I still had to pay thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And I'm fully insured.
Right. You have actual insurance,
yeah.
Not like fake New
not
York
fake
State insurance.
Yeah. Real insurance. Yeah. Still had to pay so much money.
I don't understand any of it. I did kind of like, I was like, all right, the things that I could cut back on, like vitamins that are fake, as opposed to a medication that will actually help me, I'm like, I can make up that money somewhere else and still end up net zero here. But it's still annoying.
Hurts. Yeah, it's fucking painful.
Anyway, fuck Fidelis Care. I'll call the bitch out, okay? fuck New York State, and shout out to my psychiatrist who did try everything. He did try every combination. He was like, I was on the phone with your pharmacy being like, well, what if you do 100 of these and then 250s instead of like 200? And he was like, we tried every combination and it just didn't work. Now that I got that out, let's get to the headlines. All right, worst things first. Let's chat about the worst news of the week. First, a man fishing in the Mississippi River caught what may be the biggest catfish ever recorded at a whopping 131 pounds.
Ooh!
Well above the Mississippi state record, possibly also a world record. A lot less than some of the catfishes I've been caught by. Do you know what I mean?
Oh.
Classic joke.
Wow.
About my horrific dating life. So, yeah, this man whose name is Eugene Cronley, which I think is just exactly
fantastic
the type of name.
Name, yeah.
Exactly the name you'd expect of someone who spends his days catfishing.
Yeah, on the Mississippi River.
Exactly. I always also forget that the Mississippi River is real. And that people can like fish in it.
Yeah, it's a big one.
I actually don't think I've ever seen the Mississippi River.
I must have at some point in my life. It's Midwestern.
Yeah, it's more like Southern. It becomes like culturally significant in the South.
Okay, sure. I mean,
famously,
it is
Mississippi.
I'm aware. I'm just saying, don't take it away from Illinois and like all the Midwestern states that it borders.
I mean, I will. It's not ours.
Wow.
It belongs to Mark Twain.
And Eugene Cronley.
Exactly. He is now the king of the Mississippi River. I do think we should have some type of like spring May Queen, whatever it's called, from Midsummer. I think when you catch the biggest catfish, you become king of Mississippi.
Yeah.
I just think that's the way we should be running our country. Even though I take that all back because I don't think anybody who spends their day catfishing is someone I want to trust with the government. I question his politics. The picture of this man holding up this fish, he's in full camo, which I
feel like...
That's
not even true. He's wearing black and blue jeans.
Not in the picture I saw.
Look at Eugene. What a handsome fellow.
Oh, he has one where he's holding it up. So maybe he...
Well, yeah, because he didn't want the catfish to see him.
Do you need to wear camo when you're fishing? I feel like fish...
No.
Yeah.
Fish are in the water.
I don't know how fishing works.
They don't see you until... They're out of the water.
Eugene was fishing in a 90-foot hole. I don't know what that means. I'm assuming he was in a boat in a very deep part of the Mississippi River. I don't fucking know, is 90 feet even that deep for the Mississippi River? How deep is this shit?
I have no idea how this works.
He said he's caught a lot of 50-pounders, and he knew from the tug that this one was going to be a whopper, but he had no idea that it would be the monster that it actually was. It took them 30 minutes at least to reel him in. The problem that you encounter in a situation like this, though, is that there's not enough certified scales that can handle the heft of a big boy like Eugene's.
Wow.
So in order to get it officially recorded for the, like, world record, you have to have it on a certified scale.
Right. You can't just use, like, one of those luggage scales that, has a hook on it.
Or even the airport ones, because you know they're bullshitting.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not 50 pounds.
No. Also, when it comes to that, I'm sorry, but they should be deducting how heavy your actual suitcase is.
Yeah.
It should be the stuff inside that counts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're already starting with a 20-pound suitcase, it's like, what hope do I have?
Yeah.
Anyway, so he had to, like, keep the catfish on ice for several days, and then it was losing weight before it could be officially weighed.
Wow.
Which is like, okay, jealous. Put me on ice. But yeah, so it definitely blew the Mississippi record out of the water, which was something only like 90 pounds. So this is 40 pounds bigger than the Mississippi record.
Good for this chunky, chunky catfish.
The biggest one recorded worldwide was like 111 pounds. But I think the way they classify it is like you have to catch it with a certain rod and a certain like level of line.
Sure.
Like if you go in and just like shotgun a fish, I don't think they count it. People do it famously in barrels. Anyway, shout out to Eugene. Don't ask him who he voted for or where he was on January 6th. Next, a Florida man, only in Florida, was sentenced to 2 years in prison after he was linked to the thefts of approximately 63 golf carts.
Hell yeah. Does he keep all of them?
I hope he has an underground parking lot
that
is just golf carts as far as the eye can see.
I love that. You know how like other people will collect cars and they're like, here's my garage full of pristine cars that I never drive. And it's like, fuck that. I've got golf carts, baby.
Yeah, he's got one of those rotating car parks.
Oh, yeah.
Where that kind of like raises up to his garage.
He actually hires models too to show them off.
Yeah. I want to go to his mansion.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's making millions, but actually, no. He was making reportedly $280-something thousand for all of them.
Okay, okay.
Which, I mean, okay.
I have no idea what a golf cart costs.
Me neither, and I don't think you should. Like, you can either buy, like, a Maserati.
Right.
Which I only know of as a really expensive car. I'm assuming it's probably in the range of a couple $100,000. That just feels like what a luxury car costs.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Am I wrong?
A couple $100, you said?
Thousand.
Oh, yeah, no, that's correct.
A couple $100,000.
Yeah, I think so.
As in $200,000.
No, that feels low. I don't know. I have no idea.
Let me Google. How much does a Maserati cost? Okay, it's starting at $70,000. Okay, well, a Maserati dealer could have ripped me right the fuck off because I was expecting to pay at least three times as much. Oh, there are some versions that are at like $150,000.
Okay.
So I wasn't far off. The point is, you can either buy a luxury vehicle or 63 golf carts.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if for the 1% that listens to Unhappy Hour, for anybody who is in that bracket that could afford a Maserati.
First of all, send us your money instead.
I got some student loans you can help pay off. Second of all, why don't you consider buying 63 golf carts? Better yet, why don't you consider stealing them? So anyway, the FBI started to investigate this guy in 2019 after detectives in Fargo, North Dakota contacted them and were like, listen, we got a hot case for you. Someone's been stealing golf carts since 2017 and we need the big guns. So they called in the FBI and they started investigating and found out that it's probably this guy, formerly from Minnesota, who's been living in Florida and eventually was arrested in 2020. He was caught trying to steal a pair of golf carts from a dealer. He steals them from the dealership, straight from the source.
Oh, yeah.
This is
He's
unused.
Not fucking around here.
Yeah, these are not pre-owned golf carts Mm-mm. that you get from your standard golf carts. These are hot off the factory floor.
See, at my summer camp, the unit heads all had golf carts and we all stole them because the way you turn them on, you didn't need a key. You could just take a butter knife and put it in the ignition and turn it. So it was like very easy to steal.
I think more things should have like jet ski vests.
Yeah.
where it's like the key is attached to the vest and you have to plug it in. And that way, if you go flying off, it shuts the jet ski off. Yeah, I know a lot about jet skis. I've been on one once or twice. Anyway, I just love it. He steals them in pairs. I don't know how that works. If he has an accomplice or if he's like...
just a fucking flexible mastermind.
Yeah, you got your hands on one and your foot on the other. Or he's standing kind of in between them and driving them both.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a Wile E. Coyote situation.
Let him free. This guy sounds great.
Yeah, he should be teaching like a master class.
Yeah.
Most of the golf carts he sold for about $2,500 each. So that's pretty reasonable.
Sure.
Are golf carts electric or gas powered?
They can be either.
I bet. I do love that this article included his defense attorney's argument, which was basically he had some financial hard times, decided to steal a couple of golf carts to solve his financial troubles. And then from there, it just kind of got easier and easier for him to keep stealing. Quote, from there, it became easier and easier for him to stray from his long-held moral compass. I love this lawyer.
I do, too. Also, it feels like kind of Robin Hood-y, you know? Like, it's a golf cart. I feel like it's famously for golfing. You know, it's kind of a 1% sport.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a Robin Hood.
Even though you just said that you were around people with golf carts pretty regularly. So
I mean, yeah, they were also the kind that you could turn on with a butter knife. So I don't think these were the cream of the crop.
That's fair. Anyway, he pleaded guilty, sentenced to 2 years in prison. And finally, police in Michigan are officially on the hunt for Bigfoot.
What?
That is, authorities are investigating the theft of a 7-foot-tall metal Sasquatch lawn ornament stolen from a home in southern Michigan.
Wow.
Yes.
I love that so far in Worst Things First, the police are after a golf cart thief and a Bigfoot thief.
Yeah.
Priorities are high.
Yeah. Right. Stopping no actual crime.
Like, these crimes to me, I'm like, meh, that's fine.
Right, exactly.
We deserve this.
This does seem to me the kind of level of crime that's happening in Michigan, frankly.
Yeah, of course.
But what do I know? So the statue is crafted from sheet metal, covered in various sharp edges to resemble the fur of Bigfoot.
Okay, I always think of Bigfoot as being very soft, but I guess I'm an idiot.
Well, yeah, but if it's made of metal... Okay, if you're trying to make metal hair, it's going to be sharp.
Okay, fine.
You can't make soft metal.
Jeez.
You probably can.
Yeah.
Aluminum foil.
There you go.
Well, it can
be a gorgeous disco ball.
It can get kind of sharp.
I've gotten cut from aluminum foil.
What I want to know is how did someone steal this if it's just covered in metal spikes and is 7 foot tall?
It's an inside job.
It could be.
Yeah. Here's my theory. The owner of the home is the artist who made this Bigfoot. They stole it themselves as a PR stunt to try and get people to commission more Bigfoot sculptures.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he stole it himself.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Does hearing the story make you want a 7-foot-tall Bigfoot statue?
I want it in my bed. I want to snuggle him every night.
My theory is that a real Sasquatch stole it.
Oh.
A real Sasquatch tore it down because that particular Sasquatch was a Confederate Bigfoot leader.
Wow.
A leader of the Bigfoot Confederacy.
And he was like, no more.
And now he was like, this is offensive as a statue and we're going to tear it down. Your theory about the artist is actually problematic because the artist is racist to the Bigfoot community.
That's so true. Another theory is that a Bigfoot stole it because he wanted to mate.
Right.
That's going to hurt.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no word whether this was a depiction of a male or female Bigfoot.
I mean, we don't know how big feet mate. We don't know if it's male to female, male to male, female to female. We have no idea.
I feel like I have a pretty good idea, but I'll keep that to myself. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we'll lighten up the joints, folks, and taking ourselves to Stone Town.
Yeah, here we go.
Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, 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 deep dive.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Oh boy, we might have reached a new level. All right, everybody, it's 420, the time of year where we celebrate doing drugs. Yeah. Fuck you, Dare. Do you know the Dare mascot?
Yeah, the lion?
Yeah, the
sexiest lion of all.
He was stacked.
Closely followed by the Harrison Bank lion.
So is that part of their like anti-drug tactic? Was that they were like, guess here's this lion that you want to fuck. Don't do weed. Well, guess what? You got it wrong on both counts. Because now I fucked a lion and I do drugs.
Yes.
This is our legal disclosure that you should not do drugs unless you're under the supervision of a medical professional. Or it's legal in your state.
And you're of age.
So as is tradition here on Unhappy Hour, the podcast, we like to take the occasion of 420 and a bunch of other times throughout the year to get really, really stoned and record this here deep dive wherein I complain about things, but hi. Okay, first, the fact that we used to just like drink water out of hoses.
That's like a romanticized summer activity.
I know, but also it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. No one ever cleans the inside of a hose.
No, there's an entire ecosystem living inside of that hose, an entire biome that exists inside of that hose. And then you're just going glurp, glurp, glurp right out the hose.
Reusable straws really taught me that hoses and straws can and pipes can really be disgusting.
Yeah, but they give you that urethra scraper.
I know, and I've started doing that, and that's how I learned that those things get disgusting.
That's actually very triggering for me because they had to do that once.
On your
dick.
Dick. Oh, yeah.
They had to shove a camera all the way up my entire urethra. Oh, God. That is one of the things I think about frequently that makes me, like, in public, scrunch my eyes up and violently shake my head. I just think it's weird that we drink off hoses. Also, I feel like water balloon technology has gotten too advanced for these children.
Way too.
Now they sell these things where you could hook it up to your hose and it blows up like 10 water balloons at once. And it's like, that's not, you need to have at least one kid in the friend group that everybody hates that you make stand by the faucet and fill up all the balloons that you're going to throw and ruin in 10 seconds. Yeah. And yes, that kid was me.
Yeah, how else are you going to get you to shut up?
One time a kid threw a water balloon so hard at me and my mom had to speak with him.
You're such a little bitch.
It was like black and blue.
Sure.
He like
sorry you
me.
Bruise easily.
Yeah. It's because I'm iron deficient. Also, did you ever have where you'd fill up a kiddie pool with boiling water from the stove?
No, we had bathtubs.
Not to bathe.
Why would it be hot water?
Okay, picture this. 1997, Chicago suburbs. You got a pool made out of the thinnest plastic you can possibly
imagine.
Full of lead,
absolutely poisoning everybody that's in there.
Yeah, basically they made swimming pools that were like, here's a tarp, and then on the outside is just like Tupperware. Off-brand Tupperware. And then they would fill that up, and it'd be like a foot and a half deep.
Yeah.
But because we'd fill it up with hose water, it'd be super cold.
Oh, yeah.
So we'd sit there while my aunt would boil water on the stove and then carry it pot by pot and dump it in
you
to warm it up.
Spoiled little brats. Fucking deal with the fucking water temperature.
Why are bathroom garbage cans so small and kitchen garbage cans are huge? Why? Who decided this? Because you know, I'm sure as fuck not emptying the bathroom garbage can until it is a mountain against the wall.
Oh, yeah. You're putting on fucking gloves on your feet and stepping in it to make it smaller and condensed before you're taking that shit out.
You know, I'm going to let that thing get so full that I feel the need to wear a mask in order to deal with it.
It is a biohazard at that point.
Yeah, that used to be the first roommate I had because she would take the garbage out a lot. And we
because did. You wouldn't take the garbage out?
That's not what I
said.
Oh,
because of periods?
No, it was because I didn't take it out ever. You were right the first time. But it would get to the point because I'm like incredibly comfortable with letting the garbage fill up to a point where it is literally you have to balance the next piece of trash so it doesn't topple to the ground.
Are you the kind of person who when you pass a public trash can that's filled to the brim, like overflowing, you still put garbage on top of a public one as well?
I try not to.
Okay.
But we did have a school assembly about that once.
Really?
After we saw Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets as a field trip. What had happened was we got to go and see Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets as a school field trip. And like,
that's a sick field trip.
It was like middle school.
Okay.
And after the movie was over, everybody came out and put their all their trash into one trash can. It was like overflowing. And some teacher opened her fucking Nokia flip phone and captured it in 2D. Then they showed it at an assembly and was like, look at you, you filthy bastards. They made us leave, had to pull down the whole projector screen and do it on the big screen and be like, you disgust us.
Oh my God.
You're an embarrassment to this community. And now we'll never go to the movies again. You know what movie my brother got to see? Titanic, full titties. They didn't know because it was still new.
They were like, this is historical fiction. It's educational.
Yeah. Remember when there was a period
in
school?
Also sex ed.
When they were like, all we're going to learn about is the fucking disaster of the Titanic.
Yeah, it takes up so much time.
And like romanticize it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. You know what's fucked up?
What?
The fact that Abraham Lincoln was president.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Darwin was discovering evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And Napoleon was king of France.
No, that doesn't make any sense because Napoleon to me is like way before then.
Right, because of the way he dressed. Like, Abraham Lincoln, okay, you're dressing like a modern gentleman.
Yeah, you got a tall hat.
We still dress like that, basically.
But, yeah.
That's why Abraham Lincoln is a perfect example of, if you're tall, people want to fuck you.
Yeah. He's just tall. His whole personality
He was
tall.
One of those people who had that, where it was like, oh, it's just his best friend. And it was like, no, actually, they were gargling each other's balls. Do you think Abraham Lincoln had... his pubes were as long as his hair. When did we start manscaping?
Ooh, very good question.
Ryan Seacrest. He was the first.
Yeah, that was patient zero.
Yeah, remember when men didn't groom before Ryan Seacrest? They were like, he's the first man to ever groom himself. And they made a whole new label for him. Anyway, how are electric devices thinking that I am supposed to know what voltage is?
What the fuck is voltage?
Because... sometimes a piece of electrical equipment will be like, make sure you don't plug this into an outlet that is over 13 volts or whatever. And I'm like, guess what? I have no fucking clue what that is. So I hope I don't burn down my entire building.
Why do they make like multiple categories of voltage?
Like, yeah, just make one voltage. Thing. This is America.
Yeah.
We don't have any of that fancy, you know, oh, this is an English plug and it's got 17
also,
different prongs.
Yeah. Why is that a thing? All countries in the whole world should just use the same outlet situation.
Agree. Every time I buy a new electronic product or something that like you hear that people got in trouble from.
Recalls? The fact that recalling is a thing is terrifying.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this thing that went through rounds of testing and we actually produced like thousands of them and millions of people bought it. It might kill you.
I can't believe... that I haven't been a victim of something that needed to be recalled.
You probably have.
I don't know. Some of them are so wild and I just feel like I'm primed for that.
Yeah.
I've like never had to send something back. I don't know. Like sometimes there's cars where the brakes just stop working.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. That would happen to me.
I also think like we've covered these stories on Unhappy Hour before of like, oh, we're recalling romaine lettuce. Not once have I changed my food choices based on hearing about that.
No. And I feel like I eat all the foods that get recalled.
But then I'll be like, why do I randomly have diarrhea on a Thursday? It's like, oh, right.
I forget that diarrhea is like not normal. That's like a sign of something wrong. Like it's like a symptom.
Right.
Yeah. But right. I'm like, it's a Tuesday to me.
Yeah, no, that shouldn't be happening. That's definitely wrong.
It's gotten better.
I do remember first hearing like, you know, oh, this is the difference between having poop that floats and poop that sinks. And it's like, those are the only two options. What about poop that seamlessly blends in with the water?
Okay.
I should clarify that I have solid poop and I'm proud of it. It's taken a while to get here, but we made it. Next, the fact that people chase tornadoes as like a hobby.
You don't know where that guy's going.
Yeah.
Go away. Away from the tornado.
I watched a tornado chasing video this week, which was actually pretty brave of me, considering I used to have a very big phobia of twisters, as we call them.
Wow.
I could not watch the movie Twister.
I've never seen it, actually.
Yeah,
but I do know
you?
It's like pretty famously about tornadoes.
Yeah.
The cow.
Starring Elizabeth Taylor.
And Julia.
Gandhi.
What?
Yeah, that's where he spent his hunger strike.
On the set of Twister?
That's always great. If you're looking to not eat, go work in a high pressure environment. Do you know what I mean?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm just giving advice.
Where can you just like take me on the journey your brain went on?
I said that Gandhi worked on the film Twister.
Uh-huh.
While he was on hunger strike. And like, that was a great way to distract him from the fact that he was hungry. It was to work in a high-pressure film.
I see.
But it came across as if I was giving advice on how to have an eating disorder.
Yes, it sure did.
Instead of what I was really doing, which is encouraging people to stand up for something via hunger strike and then to work on the film Twister in the middle of it. Anyway, I was deathly afraid of tornadoes. Used to hide in the closet, pun intended, during storms. And was fully convinced on a number of occasions that we were all going to die.
I mean, because it was possible.
Yeah. My mom had a cousin who did die in a tornado.
That's scary.
Famously. And my grandma claims that she foresaw it in a dream.
Incredible. I'm obsessed with your grandma.
Okay, I don't want to make fun of her on the podcast, but I will. Because my grandma definitely, I do feel like this is kind of a grandma thing. This is me trying to make it relatable. Is that like, my grandma like claims to be kind of psychic?
Yeah.
I do feel like that is a grandma thing though.
Yeah, yeah. There are like a lot of people who think they're psychics.
My grandma also predicted that she saw a psychic once. Who told her that one day she'd win a bunch of money and then like a die right after.
And she won. Plays bingo?
Yeah. She's really risky. But she won $10,000 at bingo once.
Yeah.
And she's still kicking it. Knock on wood.
You make sure you are in a good part of the will, because she's going to win even bigger than 10K is what that means. She's going to win a lot of money and you better be on her good side. Because then she's going to croak. And you won't be broke.
No, I'm not going to bump it. Here's what else I don't like. What is furniture that expands into other furniture? Go fuck yourself.
Pick a fucking lane, okay?
I don't like this transformer furniture that I see. Where people are like, oh, look, it's my wall. Just kidding, it's my fucking bedroom. And then they pull a lever and an entire bed set falls from the wall.
Murphy beds. Yeah.
Exist. Like, I don't. What Depression era shit are people sleeping in? I guess this is probably most common in like New York.
Yeah. In studio apartments.
Where some broker is like, look at this vintage living. You can live right next to this hotel cockroach hotel. And also, your entire bed folds up into a square the size of a throw pillow.
Convenient.
I feel like I really nailed that execution.
You did.
What else? This was a pretty classic high thought, but I just don't care how is wind.
Why is it so physical?
I feel like I've been very conscious of the wind lately.
It has been very windy.
Yeah. Or every time I go outside, I'm like, oh my God.
Like, stop pushing me around.
Yeah. Like, this is chill out.
What
and I'm famously
you?
From the Windy City.
Yeah.
Which has nothing to do with wind.
No,
but
it's about politics. You know what? I hate when people bring that
crack
up.
Crack your head open. Yeah. But the point is, when needs to chill out? Also, how does it work?
And does it ever stop, technically? Does it just keep going around the Earth? Like around and around transforming?
Right. Is does it ever any part of the world where there's no wind? Probably not. We'd all die, I bet. And I know some bitch with a PhD is going to write in, oh, here's how wind works. I drew you a goddamn diagram. You can save your fucking degree. I don't give a shit. What else? What is ranch dressing?
I actually was recently discussing this because it's delicious. Was that with you?
No.
Really?
I just don't understand. I've always accepted ranch as someone from the Midwest. I've accepted ranch as its own distinct
item. It's just
item.
Ranch. Yeah.
It's on a periodic table.
Uh-huh.
It is the simplest form of whatever it is.
Hydrogen ranch.
Exactly.
Yeah. Never even possibly considered that it could be made at home.
Right. Like the idea that it is actually made out of several other ingredients combined together.
And ingredients that like you could buy.
But I still don't even know what ingredients, like mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise,
eggs?
Buttermilk. Yeah, buttermilk.
Oh, right. Buttermilk ranch.
And then some herbs.
Also, just the fact that you get butter from milk is fucked up.
That was always my favorite part of Linkin Park Zoo had like a farm area. And one time they had a woman there showing you how to crank butter and then you got to taste it. And I tasted heaven.
I just, no disrespect to the great rural farmers of our nation. I don't want to do that for a second.
No.
I don't even like thinking about a cow tit.
Let alone stroking it.
And I've seen the videos, okay? The fact that you have to grab it with your pinky. No, you grab it with your thumb and pointer finger and then you squeeze it down.
You seem to know a lot about this for something you never want to do.
You go like that.
I do not want to watch you try to pretend.
Especially while the microphone is directly in my lap. The point is, I don't envy the life of a farmer, but I do respect it.
I just fucking love butter.
Oh, right. We're talking about butter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, yeah, when people are like churning butter with like a tub that has like,
it's
a wooden
barrel.
Stick, it's like,
yeah.
Get a KitchenAid. It's so much easier.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, I mean, on the topic of like ranch dressing, I do firmly believe like don't make anything that you could just buy for like a dollar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know how much a gallon of ranch is.
I'm buying ranch by the motherfucking gallon.
Yeah.
The other thing is, to me, ranch, similar to mayonnaise, they actually did perfect it in a factory. Like no homemade ranch or homemade mayonnaise is going to be better than what you buy from
the store. Don't get me started about mayonnaise. The fact that mayonnaise is just eggs and oil.
Have you ever made mayonnaise?
No, absolutely not.
It's not as good.
Here's the deal. And my next thought is that I do actually drink milk.
Mm.
I know.
As an adult?
I haven't drank it in a while, but I would.
You would. You just, you're like, I've got a craving for some milk. Not even that. You're just like, oh, I'm thirsty. What do I have in the fridge? Oh, I'll pour a glass of milk.
Listen, I think multiple things can be true. Okay. One, we were all lied to as children by the milk lobby.
Who said,
drink your milk is going to make your bones big and strong. Well, tell that to my fractured wrist. I drink milk every day.
Every day.
And I still broke everything in my body.
We were conditioned. It was propaganda.
Yeah. They were like, here's milk at every step of the day you got milk.
Every hot person you've ever seen, every celebrity, we're going to throw a huge, ugly milk stash on them and you're going to think this is hot and then you're going to want to drink milk.
Yeah.
And it fucking worked.
Yeah. I was like, glug, glug. Give me that sweet, sweet milk. But the most disgusting thing I did was my ideal combination.
Oh no.
Was hot pizza and a glass of cold milk.
That is
that
did long-term damage.
Not joking at all.
I wouldn't think it would be.
I thought there was nothing better than like the feeling of a hot cheesy pizza and then the like soothing cool milk.
Not to be an enabler, but I actually think there's some real truth to that. Because when you go from hot pizza to water in the thickness scale, you're going from one end of the spectrum to the other. But milk is a little thicker. It's going to feel, it's going to go down easier following such an experience.
I got a lot of shit for this as a child. People would be, they would gasp. The number of faintings that I caused. And I was always like, you can't stop me. You'll pry this gallon of milk up my cold, dead hands. And I'd say that, obviously, squatting over the pizza, beating my chest like an orangutan. Anyway, should we move on to the last point?
Yeah, last point.
You know what fucked me up was learning that milk is actually acidic.
Shut up.
Dairy is acidic.
I know it causes acid reflux.
Right.
So it's gotta be acid.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Because I remember my uncle always being like, ew, you're drinking milk with pizza? Like, aren't you worried that, like, the acid from the sauce will, like, curdle the milk in your stomach? Which, A, is just not how body works.
No.
And B, yeah, it's like there's already cheese.
I love thinking that a stomach is an oven.
Basically.
Yeah.
I feel like if you swallowed a piece of raw dough, it would turn into bread in your stomach.
Yeah, for sure.
It's always like, oh, stomach acid is the strongest substance that could burn through a body. I hear that all the time.
Then how is it in our bodies?
I just made that up.
Oh, okay.
That's how.
I cannot think about organs. Start thinking and then I don't stop. Or blood flow. I actually get lightheaded the second I start thinking about blood flowing through my body.
Yeah, that's why it's very difficult for me to like work out and have bigger veins, is because I get weak headed thinking about veins. And the fact that I can like see.
And they're just like carrying blood throughout our bodies at all times. And I like don't have any control over it or like think about doing it. It just does that.
Do you remember learning that your blood is like blue inside of you?
No. And then it turns red because the oxygen and the air.
Yeah.
Fuck, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, because bruises. Famously blue.
I don't like thinking about that. I also remember hearing, and I don't remember if this is fact or if it was just like a kid that had crusty boogers on his nose all the time who would always say things like fact and then I would believe him.
I mean, the human encyclopedia.
Why was there always one kid whose nose was just like arid?
Because the parents were just like, I'm not touching that.
That's true. I remember hearing from this kid that it's actually the physical experience of your stomach digesting food is actually the worst pain you can possibly imagine. But your brain, because it's like a necessary function, just like doesn't recognize it.
Absolutely don't believe that even one bit.
I just don't know how they would know that.
Yeah, exactly. Who are you testing that on?
I don't know, but it really sunk into my brain. And I was like, wow, that sounds true to me.
I mean, yeah, as a kid, I definitely would. The thing is, though, it probably is true.
Anything could be true. The amount of stuff I believed in the past, I thought mold would grow on my finger because I touched mold at the bottom of a pumpkin. This has been Matt's High Thoughts with occasional grumblings from Barry. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be live next week at the usual hour. And now traffic. It's probably bad. But I don't have a helicopter, so you're going to have to just go for it.
That was the helicopter.
Good night. Goodbye. Have a good one and sweet dreams. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. I did want to highlight once again, since we've last recorded, the number of Don't Say Gay bills has multiplied. It went into effect officially in Florida. It was signed into law. And then since then, we've also, a number of other states have introduced their version of it. I wanted to talk about it in particular because some asshole on Twitter tweeted at me. I don't think it was an unhappy hour listener. I think it was a response to just a tweet who was like, I hope you know that this bill is just about, like, not teaching this stuff to kindergartners and preschoolers. If any of you actually read the bill, you would know that. And I, first of all, bitch, I did know that. So,
and it's still bad.
And it's still bad, okay? Because, first of all, this is not people being like, hello, first graders. Here's how you do anal sex. That's not what's happening, okay? What this means is that if there are gay teachers in Florida, they will literally not be allowed to talk about their personal lives at all. And of course, if you're a homophobe, you might be hearing that and being like, yeah, yay, they shouldn't be anyway. But it's like, it might sound weird to be like, yeah, teachers should talk about their personal lives. But, like, how many teachers did you have as a kindergartner or a preschooler where, like, they have pictures of their families on their desk? It's stuff like that. I mean, these are very simple arguments to me. And so it feels very ridiculous to be just, like, reciting them. But, yeah, the idea that, like, any Disney movie, literally any Disney movie from our childhood, all had some version of, like, a guy kissing a girl.
Yeah.
And that is not problematic. The only thing that's problematic is that it's two people of the same sex.
Right.
Obviously, I'm attacking this person who made this argument for being A, an idiot, B, a homophobe, and C, presuming that I don't actually understand what's going on.
Right.
But yeah, it's obviously like, if you're addressing the reality of this bill, it is, of course, ridiculous because nobody is like, yeah, let's show hardcore gay porn to kindergartners. But it's also not about that at all. It's not a practical bill that people actually intend to put into effect. The purpose of it is to get people angry. And the people that are going to be angry and go to the polls and believe this shit are the people who are homophobic. And this is clearly just a smoke signal to start the shit, because you already see people now encroaching on, like, gay marriage, and not to even mention, like, trans rights and all of that stuff. So it is pretty fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Situation is dire. And so wanted to once again highlight Equality Florida. Obviously, it's been signed into law in Florida, but Equality Florida is joining this lawsuit to challenge the law in Florida. So, like I said, this is happening in a whole bunch of states. So Florida is just one kind of battleground, I guess. But I feel like because that's where a lot of people are focusing their energy, it's important to fight it. So I wanted to include the link to Equality Florida once again. You can donate to them. You can join some of the action that they have, including signing some of the petitions or writing to the congresspeople there, and then donating money, if you can, to the organizations that are actually fighting on the ground. So that's that. Moving on, what TV have you been watching this week?
I have been watching Bridgerton season 2, featuring Hawkeye March Madness champion of 2022, Jonathan Bailey, in all his sexy glory. I really enjoy this season. I think I only have like one episode left. I didn't really know anything about the second season going into it. And yeah, I'm liking it. Also, the woman who plays Kate, who's like the main love interest for Jonathan Bailey this season, is Simone Ashley, who plays Olivia in Sex Education, is like the most beautiful woman in the world. And she's so good. She's so good. It's just such a fun show. So that is what I'm watching. In addition to Better Call Saul, very different vibes. And we're on like season 5 now of Better Call Saul. So we are making our way through. What about you? What are you watching?
I need to start watching Better Call Saul. I don't think I've really watched anything new this week.
We watched a lot of TikTok last night.
I have watched a lot of TikTok.
Why is it spicy?
I hate that so much. Yeah, I guess Abbott Elementary is the finale this week.
I'm going to miss it.
So watched that. Yeah, I need to work through some of the old shows that I need to catch up on.
Download some stuff before you get on those planes.
I know. What's your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser is a podcast.
Great.
It's called Normal Gossip. This is not a sponsored ad. I just genuinely really enjoy it. Shout out to Melissa, our other producer, who really pushed me to listen. It is what it sounds like. It is a host who brings on comedians and other people and just walks them through gossip that is sent to them. So it's not like celebrity gossip. It's like very detailed, ridiculous, gossipy stories. And it's really fun, and I've really been enjoying it. So that is my non-TV chaser for the week. What about you?
My non-TV chaser is
crochet. Yay! I was so excited for you to say crochet!
I started to crochet. I don't know what really sponsored this.
TikTok.
I don't know.
The answer is TikTok.
No, it wasn't, honestly.
What? Really?
Yeah. I don't know what spurred it on is what I was trying to say.
I hope it was my influence of embroidery.
It wasn't.
Okay. That's fine.
That I can say.
Which, by the way, not to make this about me, but I've been really good at embroidery, and I've continued the habit strong.
I have to say, I started crocheting. Mostly, I, like, bought, like, a basic little kit and tried to start, and immediately was like, this is impossible. I don't know how anybody did this. I don't know what all of these women in the 1800s were even doing. Like, what thing? I don't know how they did it without YouTube. Because God bless, like, teenage girls on YouTube who have taught me how to crochet. Because everything I've learned in the last week has been because I just followed along to a YouTube video.
Yeah.
So pretty impressive, I would say.
Yeah,
but I'm getting the hang of it. I do, yeah, just in general, I think I was looking for some type of activity that was not on my phone that I could do, like, while watching TV or listening to a podcast that was also something, I guess, kind of practical. So,
you mean like exactly the reasons why I took up embroidery and then said those exact words when I took up embroidery? But yeah, sure, I had no influence on you and why you ended up doing crochet.
I was looking for something similar for those reasons, but the option of crochet.
Well, I didn't say that the option of crochet specifically. I just meant
just a hobby. You inspired a hobby?
A crafting hobby. Like that?
I refuse.
We're
going to
have
credit.
Crafting nights.
No.
Yes.
Now, because of this behavior, I won't allow it. Oh, my other chaser is deviled eggs, by the way.
Wow. Okay. Hard left turn there.
I'm just really excited for Easter because I just know how many deviled eggs I'll eat. It's actually upsetting when I think about it because, like, I usually have 3 scrambled eggs a day. And even that, I'm like, that seems like a lot.
Yeah.
But when I eat deviled eggs, the amount of eggs consumed total is, like, no longer a factor. No, I can eat an entire dozen eggs.
Yeah. Don't you think they should be called something else on Easter?
Yeah, I don't know why it's deviled.
Yeah, that just seems really sacrilege for that day.
My mom and my aunt make, like, rival deviled eggs, ooh, and it's very funny to me. And they taste almost exactly the same, and yet they both are very passive-aggressive to one another about, like, who likes which one. Every year, my mom will be like, whose do you like more? And then I have to be like, I don't like either of them more. They're just different.
Wow. How diplomatic.
One has more like mustard and is a little like more savory. One is a little more sweet probably.
Ew. What?
That's the wrong.
Do you mean like spicier? When you eat it, do you ask yourself, what's spicy?
Okay. This is over. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can buy merch at unhappyhourshop.com. So you can head to the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. Follow us, rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Marisa Orozco, and me, Matt Belisai. Hadim Jang, Meredith Rice, and Kurt Courtney help out with our socials. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. You can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter and Unhappy Hour on Instagram for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
can say why
No.
We listen to a lot of Anya after our 420 recording.
We only listen like 4 songs, and yet it Holding felt like an entire time. Hour of Anya.
Sail away, sail away, sail away. I did a full dance.
It was very upsetting. That's it.